Welcome to Gadgets, a podcast from Gizmodo where we womansplain the latest technology. I'm your host, consumer tech reporter Florence Ion, and I'm joined here by Protocol's news editor, Caitlin McGarry. Hi, Caitlin.
Hi, Flo. Thanks for having me on our
podcast.
Thanks
for being here. This is a, we do have a little bit of housekeeping that we need to impart unto our listeners today, which is sadly, this is your penultimate episode.
Yes. Yes, so. I'm flying the coop. Is that what people say? No? Okay.
we're in act three right now of your podcast experience here at Gadgets. And, you know, I think people are hoping for some real drama. Oh. So we'll see what we can get.
Okay.
We are talking about Theranos today.
That's true. Is this wow, this is going to be relevant for Flo. Is this like a Real Housewives reunion special, part one?
Yes.
Oh my God, I can't believe I pulled that out of my back pocket.
That's really good. That was good.
Thank you. See, I think our listeners have realized that I don't know anything about reality TV, but I try to relate with you still.
I appreciate that. I've actually been taking a sort of a little personal break from the Housewives.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. No, I'm still watching it every week and everything, but just
is that a break?
Just meme wise, I've been more. I'm so excited to talk about Theranos with you today because I've been watching the damn series and then we're having the trial happen in real time now.
Yeah.
Over in San Jose. So yeah.
It's right around the corner from you.
Yeah. This is reality TV for me right now.
It's pretty good. I mean, I don't think, we'll get into it in a second, but I don't think this trial is going to be quite as fascinating as the Elizabeth Holmes trial, because this is her former partner / former chief operating officer.
I was going to say, no, I don't, he was more than a lover. It was,
they lived together. She has described it as abusive, and those claims are not being used in this trial. That's not part of it. But that came up in her trial. So yeah, if you've been watching The Dropout, you know.
We'll be talking about it. I guess spoilers ahead if you haven't read the Wikipedia for Theranos.
If you've blacked out for the last 5 years and have not heard of Theranos,
lucky. Well, you know who is also going back to their ways is Instagram, thankfully.
Yes, this is a good thing. I actually haven't installed the update yet, but I'm excited to get back to my Instagram roots. Because as I've discussed on the pod, I've kind of given up on Instagram a little bit. I don't check it that much.
I do check it
once a day.
Yeah,
I get some DMs, people send me memes. I'm like, okay, cool. Yeah. But I used to be a scroller, and now I'm whatever.
Oh, okay. I can't wait to get into that with you too, because I was about to, and I was like, no, we should wait. Also, to rounding off our podcast today, we're gonna actually have James Whitbrook on from io9, which I'm excited because James, so Caitlin and I used to watch Riverdale.
We did. We were a little bit obsessed with Riverdale.
We were really into it. And then I dropped off. I think you dropped off as well. And then I saw James write about this. And I love James because he approaches things in a way that I approach things. And I just really wanted him to come on for our fangirl section today and just talk about help us catch up on Riverdale. And so maybe we should decide if we can get back into it. That's what I'm hoping today to figure out.
I think I might be ready, but yeah, we have to hear James's verdict. James has opinions, and the people need to hear them.
I can't wait. He's on standby right now, so we have to get through the rest of this podcast first. So, quick break, and we'll be right back. for anybody that followed the Theranos trial several years ago when the miniseries came out on HBO and, you know, the grift of Elizabeth Holmes was finally revealed, this might sound like a little bit of a reprise, but Theranos is back in the news because we have The Dropout on Hulu, which has brought it back into, like, the pop culture zeitgeist. Amanda Seyfried is doing, by the way, an incredible job. She, I think I mentioned this on last week's pod, but she was studying for 2 years the voice of Elizabeth Holmes to be able to fully just personalize this role.
Can I just, let's stop right here. Theranos was like literally like last year. That trial was last year. Not several years ago. I know, like, time is a flat circle, but, like, seriously, Theranos just happened to blow.
You're right. I know.
You know, in the mid-2000s when Theranos was...
You're no, right.
Girl, it was like a couple months ago that she was found guilty. This just happened.
Okay, guys, this so pandemic is, trial and having a child two. Has ruined my life, like, sense of time. I don't.
Has ruined my... Let me walk that one back real quick. Oh, no. We're already off the rails. Okay, let's reel it in. Okay, so Theranos, the first trial was Elizabeth Holmes. Everyone obviously knows Elizabeth Holmes. Like, yeah. But there's another trial, which just started yesterday. Sunny Balwani was the COO of Theranos. He was Elizabeth's partner, and she has claimed that, like, he was really controlling of her and controlling of Theranos and, like, knew everything that was going on. And the prosecution in Balwani's trial, he's also being accused of fraud, which is what Holmes was convicted of. The prosecution is arguing that the same thing. Like, they were partners in crime. They knew everything that was going on. They conspired together to, like, defraud investors and clients by lying about this machine that didn't really analyze one drop of blood for all of these illnesses. So his defense in opening arguments yesterday argued that, like, it was Holmes's business. Like, it was all her. Like, he was just, like, along for the ride, basically.
It was her. It was all her. I had nothing to do with this. I didn't tell her to drink green juice. I didn't tell her to change how she dresses or to get her shit together, you know?
Yeah. They're not taking the abuse claims into account in this trial, but she, like, I think in her trial, she showed, like, a schedule that he had made for her. Like, he allegedly scheduled out her days. And, like, it was wild. Like, I don't know if I can pull it up right now. I should have pulled it up before. But, yeah, it was just, like, she had to be up, like, extremely early. Yeah, the green juice situation, I forget if there was anything else major, but yeah, it was a lot. So you could see, like, that line from, like, he controls my life to, like, he also controls what's happening at Theranos. But, like, none of that has been proved. So this will just, like, examine how much he knew of what was going on. It seems pretty likely that he knew everything that was going on because, like, he told investors that Theranos would have, like, up to $1 billion of revenue when they were making, like, absolutely no money at the time. So that seems like a pretty clear, like, yeah, dude.
I know. I'm being re-traumatized.
I know. Well, if you've been watching The Dropout, you know, like, he was a central figure in her life. They met, like, in college. They worked
widely
very closely
inappropriate,
together.
By the way, in relationship. A older man having a relationship with a girl, okay? Because I know we want to consider ourselves, like, adults at 18, but...
Sure. He was, like, I can't remember how much older than her he is, but it's like...
Well, he was in his 30s, I think, when he met her, when she was a teenager, which is automatically screams red flag emoji everywhere.
Yeah, I think, he is close to 20 years older than her. But the trial is not going to be, you know, we just have to say it. It's not going to be like as thrilling as the Holmes trial because he's just not like the character that she is, right. You know. But she is on the list of witnesses.
Even on Protocol's reporting, I saw that there weren't a lot of butts in the seats of the trial. Yeah. Like people didn't really come out for this except the journalists covering it.
Yeah, we had a reporter go because we covered the Holmes trial in person. And so we sent someone yesterday, Veronica, and she was like, there's no one here. Like, I'm the only one here. There's just a couple of reporters. It's like not even the spectacle that it was last time, which makes sense. I mean, it does make sense, but it'll just be interesting to see because, like, she's still, like, out and about. She's been convicted, but I don't think she's been sentenced yet. And so she's just, like...
She has children.
Yes, she has a child. She's living somewhere in California. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, I don't know if him being convicted will like, make any sort of difference there. But, like, it is... If he is convicted, this whole Theranos thing has basically just proved what... Everyone who has been covering Silicon Valley for years, like you and I, Flo, mm-hmm. like already knew, which is that startups are often like full of shit. Like startup founders like make a lot of bold claims because they're trying to raise the profile of their company. Like they might exaggerate stuff sometimes. But in this specific case, because it was about people's like lives, you know, they were diagnosing very serious illnesses or claimed to diagnose illnesses with one blood drop, like that just elevated everything. And I think that's why this case became such like a huge touchstone, besides the fact that Elizabeth Holmes is just like a character, like the voice. I still can't get over the voice. I know it's like
I know
it's like well-covered territory, but voice. I can't get over it.
I really wanted us to talk about this because obviously I've been – so I tend to work backwards on these things. I kind of wait for things to blow over a little bit or like a resolution to come to it. And then I go back in time. I see like what was written about it and what was happening. Oh, sure. It was hard for me to really follow along with this case as it was happening with everything else in life. And so now that I can – now that I'm watching, you know, the Hulu show – and sort of experiencing this in real time, I thought it was just really interesting how the Silicon Valley grifts have become a part of our pop culture. Yeah. Like these people, their grifting has turned them into these semi-celebrities. Mm-hmm. I mean, and if anybody has been paying attention to the socialite gossip rags, Caroline Calloway in the... news again over there on that side. And so it just makes me think about like these people who are notorious for ripping people off and how they kind of, you know, we're watching their downfall.
Yeah. I mean,
essentially,
like the Silicon Valley grift these days is just NFTs. Like if Theranos had been in the NFT business, no one would have been convicted of fraud. It's
NFTs and crypto. I was, my husband has been like, I probably shouldn't out him, but
Eric, what have you been doing?
But let's just say I learned about how quickly these crypto grifts come and go. Like they will just
what do?
They will flare out in the like 24 hours. They'll have some like coin and then all of a sudden
did you buy into a coin it just like disappears. Be like nothing.
I think they're pump and dump schemes. Like, again, this is all terminology I'm just learning. Please don't ask me what I really mean by this. I'm just like learning as I go.
The old pump and dump.
No, that's no, apparently that is a terminology that is used. Yeah,
it's like to inflate the value of a coin when you plan to, so yes. Then you plan to sell it while everyone else is still buying in and you make a lot of money. Yeah, it's all a scam.
Are we going to see a Hulu docuseries about an NFT, you think? Like a big NFT inflated.
Yeah. I mean, Crypto Bros coming to HBO Max later this year. Like, I just made that up, but like, that's gonna happen.
Oh, I was like, what? Crypto Bros, sign me up. Is it by my judge? God.
That would be amazing. That would be right? So good. Too bad Elizabeth Holmes was not around for NFTs because that would have been hilarious.
Yeah. before we move on, I just want to say, I think she is living, by the way, in a $11 million house on a hill in like one of the most expensive neighborhoods in the peninsula right now.
That tracks. So, yeah. I mean, like nothing really happens to grifters. They just like flame out and then she'll be back with an NFT scam in like a couple of years.
I know.
The circle of life.
Circle of life. All right, we'll be right back. We'll talk about Hakuna Matata.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Caitlin, Instagram is, you know, it was once the social network that our generation, our millennial generation, really ran with it when it came out and we're like, this is our thing. And now it just kind of feels like it's been slowly fizzling now that, you know, it's been trying to do a lot to compete with TikTok. Mm-hmm. And folks don't really seem on board with that game plan because I have seen nothing but complaints across the board about the algorithm changes, the so-called renewed focus on video and video engagement. And it's like such a far removal from where we started with Instagram as far back as like, what, 2010, 2011?
Yeah, back in the pioneer days. Because Flo thinks we're ancient. Okay, Instagram's not that old, but they were acquired by Facebook in 2012, and it's basically all been downhill from there. I mean, like, let's just be honest. Like, Instagram was cool. It was fun. Like, you just put these now horrible filters on everything to make, you know, like, your shitty iPhone pictures look, like, purposefully shitty and not just, like, actually shitty. But then, like, after Facebook bought it, they've just, like, tried to compete with, like, every other cool app that came up. So, like, Facebook tried to buy Snapchat, and Snapchat didn't want to sell. So they added, like, a bunch of filters. They added Instagram stories to compete with Snapchat stories. And now that TikTok is the new thing. Oh, before that, there was IGTV. Do you remember they tried to make us watch TV on Instagram? Like, lunatics. And that was, like, to compete with YouTube. And now with TikTok, like, they introduced Reels, and now when you try to tap on something, it just takes you to Reels, even if you had no intention of watching Reels. And, like, it's not working. It's not working. TikTok is growing, like, crazy. The TikTok algorithm is, like, a science, like, perfectly nailed.
That's why people love it, because if you don't like something, you just automatically just zoop and it'll toss it out of your algorithm. That's it. And so you have this very fine-tuned experience, which on Instagram, Reels especially, has felt like such a it has felt like such an incredible copycat feature. And by the way, not helped by the fact that people who make TikToks, they'll just export them and then upload them to Reels, which
every
is like,
every reel I watch has like TikTok.
Can we not do that though?
It's like, it's like, wild. But I think, so Instagram clearly knows, like, I mean, it's getting political backlash for like addicting teens and making teen girls like feel bad about their bodies. There's like, it's getting so much heat, you know, people have had to testify in front of Congress. Like, it's a lot going on.
I forgot about that.
Yeah. So now they can be like, okay, 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 we'll scrap the algorithm, or we'll make the algorithm like just part of it, and we'll bring back the chronological feed so you can see everything in order, all of your friends' posts or whatever, like the influencers that you follow, you'll just see everything in chronological order, and we can't possibly be accused of like manipulating things with an algorithm, because you can choose between an algorithm or like chronological feed. And I get exactly what they're doing. But I'm grateful for it because I'm getting served. Okay, so I don't check Instagram that much anymore. Open it like once a day. And when I do, I'm seeing things from like 6 days ago, 2 minutes ago.
Yeah.
Like, it's all over the place. And I don't even know what I'll comment on someone's post. And I'm like, oh my God, that was from last week. Like, what am I doing? I didn't know it was so old. And I just want to see everything that was posted from the last time that I opened the app. Like, that's it. That's all I want. And now I'm getting it.
I agree. I've been kind of creeping on my friend's Instagram profiles lately because I realize that the algorithm has made me miss some moments. Like, I'll see a post pop up and be like, oh, that person had a child. Right. I mean, I knew that person was pregnant before, but I'm like, oh, crap, they actually had the kid and I missed it because I was, you know, over here doing my job and everything else that I had to do that kept me away from it. And I'm not sure about this so-called, what did Instagram say, that they wanted to make the company, make time spent on the app feel more intentional?
Oh my God. Like, they just say things. Like, companies just say things. Like, whatever. They're in trouble. They're competing with TikTok and losing, and they need something to get people, like, influencers are pissed at them because, like, their content is getting buried. I follow, like, a few, like, fashion, like, I really am into, like, high fashion, so I follow a couple of, you know, those accounts, and, like, sometimes I won't see their stuff for a really long time, and then it'll pop up, like, hey, because I don't interact with anything. Let me be clear. When I use Instagram, I don't like anything like from an influencer. I don't comment on people's posts unless I know them. So if I'm not engaging, like, the algorithm just buries everything. But I still want to see that stuff. I just don't, I'm not interacting with people who I've never met. I just want to see fashion. So yeah, I think this will go a long way toward, you know, addressing a lot of those concerns, like politicians, influencers who they need to stay on the platform because they're fleeing to TikTok. And like users who have been using Instagram forever, who are just pissed that they're missing all of this stuff. And there's going to be, so they're not doing away with the algorithm feed entirely. It's going to be an option. So when you open it, it defaults to the algorithmic feed, but then you have two new tabs to choose from. You can choose favorites, so you can add like all of the accounts that you definitely want to see their stuff in chronological order, and you can just choose like all of the accounts that you follow to see all of their posts. So I think that's a good like middle ground to me. I mean, it's just rolling out today, Flo. I haven't gotten the update yet, so I haven't tried it out.
Me either.
But like, it does seem like options are good. Like, we've just been wanting options for the past, I don't know, when did Instagram change their feed? Like 2016. It's been a while.
Yep. I think Instagram would be better suited if it would have just, you know, stuck with the idea that it wanted to become this shopping destination, because Instagram for me is half following like artists and designers that I admire. They'll do flash sales on there, and sometimes I'll miss those flash sales because of the algorithm. And then the other half is, you know, the personal, like keeping in contact with people that I left Facebook for. Like, these are the people I carried over. And I just don't think that chasing TikTok is anything that fits for Instagram. I don't think that works for Instagram. Just the general nature of it, the way it's always been.
It's photos. Like, it should stay photos. Like, yes, I really
agree.
I mean, having videos is fine, but like, that's not what people are using Instagram for.
I love the return of the photo dump, by the way.
Yes.
I saw the people have been doing it. I'm like, I'm doing it. I'm doing the photo dump. This is my trip in 10 slides. Like, that's all you need.
I know. I have like, you know, I never put, the last time I posted was like sometime last year. And I'm like, oh, maybe I should just like dump all the things that I've done in the last 6 months just in like one little, and then I don't have to think about it again.
It's like a nice little journal entry for your friends. It's kind of how I am trying to approach it now. And also, I fell into a bit of a trap while I was freelancing before I was here at Gizmodo. And I was doing a lot of, sorry, I just got distracted by this phone dying. I was doing a lot, I'm testing over here in the Flow Lab. I was doing a lot of taking workshops on like how to build your brand. Cause you know, it's kind of part of like billing yourself as a freelancer. And focusing a little too much on Instagram becoming the platform for that. And you really don't need to pour your heart out on Instagram every single time that you're on there. I feel like everybody's tired of doing that too.
I don't like less feelings, just less.
It's okay. We can feel deeply in our little circles, and then maybe in public spaces, we're just, it's okay. Mm-hmm. It's okay to celebrate that beautiful sunset that you took a picture of.
You don't have to post a poem about it. Just share that sunset.
But if a nice haiku does come to you and it rhymes, definitely don't, share
don't
it.
Don't let
you know?
Me get in the way of your creative flow.
Don't let Caitlin get in the way of creative flow. Got it.
That sums up our decade of knowing each other, basically.
All right. Well, this feels like a good time for us to call in Fan James to join us to fan. So we'll be right back.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Joining us for our fangirl segment today is Io9's James Whitbrook, deputy editor. Hello, James.
Hi. Hello. How are you doing?
I'm good.
That was very mellow, because James is not really that mellow, actually.
It depends on the subject matter, which, of course, no doubt we'll get into very soon.
Wow. That was a perfect segue. James, you are a pro at this.
I agree. James, so Caitlin and I used to watch Riverdale. We both got into it. I got into it in the beginning because of Luke Perry, rest in peace, because I'm a huge 90210, as you know, probably by now. I mean, Brenda's my Slack icon now, so, you know.
Yeah.
We're back there.
Yeah. And I watched it. I picked it up, I think halfway through season one or maybe beginning of season two, because someone told me I had extreme Cheryl energy. And I had to see if that was good or bad. And honestly, I think it's kind of good.
Yeah, it's turned out quite well at this point.
I mean, I fell off, so I don't know how she turned out. But in the early days.
Okay, we're getting into it. Spoilers from here on out. Anybody who doesn't want to know, I appreciate you. Just let this play so that we can get your listening count. Thank you. So Caitlin, where did you leave off? Because the last time I left off on Riverdale, Archie was in fighting pits and he had just gotten out of jail.
That sounds about right.
Okay.
I think we fell off around the same time. Four? Yeah. I think season four is when it's been a while. I don't even know what season we're on right now.
I don't. Yeah, we're season six, right, James?
Yes, season six.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I think I actually fell off before the both of you. I got on board with Archie when it was starting, because I was a big fan of, in 2015, Archie Comics rebooted the whole comics line. Archie has been around for decades at this point, but they rebooted the continuity there. And that was my onboarding point, because we didn't really have Archie Comics over here when I was growing up. When I was a kid, that sort of comic was, and we had local series called The Beano and the Dandy. And that's what I got into before, obviously.
Oh my God.
Became Marvel and DC Comics trash at a very young age. So I moved on from those. So yeah, I was pretty late to Archie. So I got on board with the show, and it was a lot from the get go.
Yes. It's always
It's a CW show too, which is par for the course.
Yeah. It is thoroughly what you would call a CW show, which is a lot of drama, a lot of young, very beautiful, attractive people in their 20s mm-hmm. playing teenagers, yes. which is always very strange. But yeah, over the years since, the show has, it's showrun by an Archie Comics executive, Roberto Aguirre-Sacasa, and he's done a bunch of the comics. And over the years, it has gone increasingly more insane. There was the thing I always pull is there was a time on this show when the weird thing was that Archie was sleeping with his teacher.
Oh yes, that was very dramatic.
And oh, that's and now, right. That's how we started this whole series.
Yes, yeah.
And that was the thing to let you know that this was not your grandfather's Archie. Like,
right.
Whereas now, I'm pretty sure Archie's been in the army. Cheryl has been possessed by an ancient family spirit.
Mm, right, because didn't Sabrina come?
There was yes, a Sabrina so crossover, right?
This season started with a crossover with Chilling Adventures of Sabrina, which itself is another adaptation of an mm-hmm. Archie series. So yes, that was set in a different reality called Rivervale, oh. not to be confused with Rivervale.
Oh, no.
Because there are multiple timelines now.
But, God. This is reminding me of like Passions. Did anyone watch the soap opera Passions yes. back in like 2000?
It's yes. it's very soap opera.
Oh God. I love it.
But I yeah, in so the much. Years since there's been a lot of like serial killers, cults, right. potentially supernatural beings. I think at one point there was a deal with maybe Satan, heavily implied to be Satan.
Yep.
Okay.
A lot has been going on, so.
Yeah, so your headline for, you wrote a piece this week that was hilarious, and it's Riverdale has somehow gone even more off the deep end. And honestly, when I just read the headline, I was like, I think I'm back in. I think I'm on board with same. Whatever's happening same. Here. I didn't even read it. I didn't at the time. I was just like, I think I got to restart Riverdale. Like, is that what we're doing? We're doing it. So how has it somehow gone even like more from that?
So yes, like I said, like coming off season six started with this five episode crossover with Sabrina, like whole different timeline. They briefly killed Archie off at one point to really let you know that it was an alternate reality.
Sure.
And you would think that is where they're like, oh, we got the weirdness out of our system this season, like we can start just doing regular plots. And so this is episode six of the season. It was called Unbelievable, which uh-oh. Very appropriate.
Uh-oh. a little too on picks, the nose.
Yeah, it picks up where season five left off, which is, long story short, Hiram Lodge, Veronica's father, had been exiled from the Terran for various
finally.
Criminal activities. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And from afar, planted, got one of Riverdale's multiple criminal gangs, because that's also another thing that happened at some point. There was like a gang war between the Ghoulies and the Southside Serpents.
Yeah, sure. Yeah,
fantastic yeah. names for everything. But yeah, sure, just roll with it. So Hiram got the Ghoulies to plant a bomb in Archie's house.
Oh.
And naturally, because it's a CW show, we learn this just as Archie and Betty are rekindling their romantic relationship together.
Oh, okay.
So the bomb went off,
mm-hmm.
and both of them miraculously survived the explosion.
Mm, sure. Yes.
Of course.
Yeah.
Which we begin to learn over the course of this episode is because Archie has started developing superpowers.
Oh, boy. Okay. All right. Well,
it's a lot.
Wait, where's Jughead? Sorry.
Jughead was nearby and unfortunately got his superpower was that he was deaf. Like he becomes deafened by the blast and that's it.
They did
that's
that all we know to Cole so Sprouse. Far. That is not okay.
That's rude.
There has been some implications in press that they might go something, and this is going to sound even weirder, they might do an inverse Daredevil.
Oh, wow.
With him, Daredevil is, of course, the Marvel Comics character who has extrasensory perception because he's blind.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So there's some hints that might do that. But yes, we learn over the course of this episode that Archie has started developing unbreakable skin. He started putting on weight at the gym at a rapid pace, like he's developing extra muscle. And then we also learn that Betty got superpowers as well, because what? While she was hospitalized recovering, she begins seeing like auras of threat around people. She gets like a sort of, almost like a spider sense sort of thing. And they team up together to take out this murderous orderly because, you know, hospitals are just full of murderous orderlies, apparently.
I'm sorry, this sounds like the plot line of Misfits. Does anybody remember Misfits?
Yes. Yeah.
Sounds just like that.
It's very Misfits. And it just happens over the course of this 50 minutes. And it's absolutely bonkers. I was watching it because I infrequently check on the show now, and like I thought I might as well check in. It's the first episode back, and I was just slack jawed for half of it. Like, it was going like I was just increasingly thinking they can't be doing this, and then they were actually doing it.
Oh my god. So is there any indication of like why people are developing superpowers? Like, is it from the bomb, or were they already?
They have the implication seems to be that there's that it's the bomb, but they haven't really delved into it yet. So no doubt they're going to go over it over the course of this season.
Wow! So
that's it. I'm jumping in.
What's my girl Cheryl up to?
What's Cheryl up to?
She is busy dealing with the spirit of one of her old family descendants, Abigail. That has been another thing that has been happening in the meantime. She has been increasingly involved with cult-like activities.
She's always had family stuff. Like, that was her thread, too. Mm-hmm. Was like...
She's occasionally going by the title Queen of the Bees these days, which is incredible.
Relatable. Yeah, okay.
But in an attempt to excise this curse that had been placed on her friends, which, long story short, curses were involved. But, but she seems to have maybe potentially like been possessed by the spirit of Abigail. So that's currently Cheryl's plotline, is just sitting there on the sidelines waiting to do something supernatural. So everything has gone off the rails, like
I said. Incredible.
All right.
This is incredible.
Yeah, I think you sold me. I'm into it. Yeah. Let's do it, Flo.
Caitlin, did you read Betty and Veronica when you were little?
I did. I bought all the comics. Yeah.
Did you get them at the grocery store?
We had them at the grocery store. Yeah. And James, I didn't realize that you guys over there like didn't have the same comics as we did in the States.
No, like as were very different. So like Archie was a rare thing. Like I'd seen a few of like the old classic digests and stuff, but we didn't really get it. Like our cultural comics imports were like the big comics. It was like your Spider-Man and Marvel and DC and all that. Mm. But this does actually have some roots in the comics. Like as I've got more into Archie stuff in recent years, like going back and all the old stuff, there used to be back in the 60s a parody like guest issues, because obviously like a bunch of these elements are from the comics anyway. Sabrina was just one of Archie's neighbors in the old comics, like she just happened to be a teenage witch, like, so it's always been very weird. And over the years they've had like some horror spin-offs, and Afterlife with Archie is a zombie series that's actually really good.
Interesting.
Archie's Weird Mysteries. Sometimes that shows on Pluto TV, by the way.
Oh, interesting.
If anybody's like ever curious.
Yeah, so they've always had this dabbling with genre stuff. But yeah, the superhero stuff in particular, they used to do these one-off stories where Archie would become a hero called Pureheart the Powerful, who has very similar abilities to the ones that he's developed in the show.
I don't know how I feel about that word, that name, though. Pureheart?
It was very weird. Like, as long as he was pure of heart, he would have these miraculous abilities. And usually the joke was that, like, the moment he ogled a pretty girl, he would conveniently lose his powers mid...
That's incredible.
That's what makes you impure? Okay.
Mid-adventures, yeah. Like, this was like 60s comics stories at its finest. So it's like, there is a route for them to go off. It's just absolutely insane for a show that's coming into its sixth season at this point.
Yeah, this is like completely unhinged. I like it. I mean, once they mind like the teacher thing and like how much, there's not much drama left to explore with Betty and Veronica. And like, you know, like you really have to just go for it. Just go for it. Like, give people something to watch.
Yeah, especially as a CW show at this point, it might as well become a superhero show.
Yeah,
I mean, if Supernatural has been on for God knows how long, I feel like they'll milk Riverdale as much as they possibly can.
So, like, and it's all the original characters still on it. Like all the same. Wow, that's pretty incredible, actually.
I was going to say most of them are still around at this point. Obviously, Luke Perry passed, and like I think that was the last time the show really tried to do something quite series. Like, they had a very, like, a very earnest episode about his passing and, like, incorporated it into the show. The Shannon Doherty
episode was great. It made me cry. It made me really sad because she totally played that as Brenda Morning Dillon.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
And it was, like, there was a lot of 90210, like, the fan community, we did like podcasts and like Reddit live threads. We were all just like bawling because it was like our funeral. It was very intense, which is why I stuck with Riverdale because it was kind of like out of, you know, trying to be loyal to.
And now it's going to test that loyalty as much as it possibly can.
Listen, Flo, I think you're ready. I think you're ready for it.
I mean, if you guys look at my watch history, you know that I love this kind of unhinged storytelling. So
yes, indeed.
It's absolutely my cup of tea. James, thank you so much for coming and joining us for a fan
no
role
problem.
To kind of help, you know.
I'm glad us. I can provide some insight into very weird, occasionally very bad television.
Listen, the two are not mutually exclusive.
It's true.
We appreciate all types of TV here at Gadgets. Thank you, James. It was so good to see you.
My pleasure.
Well, thanks so much to James Whitbrook for joining us today. And Caitlin, thank you so much for being here. We're going to have you on your last episode here next week. So everybody stay tuned to that. We're going to try and make it special.
Thank you.
But before we go, we do want to thank our producer and sound engineer, Ryan Allen, for making us laugh in the chat, as he always does, with his well-timed emoji. We also want to thank our cover designer, Vicky Lita, for making us look pretty in your podcast apps. We also want to remind you, if you have any comments or suggestions, I've actually been receiving some questions, and I would love to help out anybody if you need buying advice or anything like that. Gadgets@gizmodo.com. Inbox is waiting for you. You can also tweet us at Gizmodo or find Caitlin and I on our social media profiles. Caitlin is Caitlin_McGarry on Twitter, and I am OThatFlo on Twitter. You can also subscribe to this podcast wherever you get yours. And if you like what you hear, please leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. We'll be back next week with more unhinged technology, gadget, and sci-fi coverage. Until then.